kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One day, a father of a very rich family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing him how poor people live. They spent a day and a night on the farm of a very poor family. When they got back from their trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "Very good, Dad. Did you see how poor people can be?" the father asked. "Yeah," said the son. "And what did you learn?" The son answered, "I saw that we have a dog at home, and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of the garden. They have a creek that has no end. We have imported lamps in the garden. They have the stars. Our patio reaches to the front yard. They have a whole horizon." When the little boy was finished, his father was speechless. But then the son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we really are." It would be interesting to know such a bright young man as this boy. But who knows if it's actually a true story, or just another allegorical lesson we can all learn from. Nonetheless, this little story is an excellent introduction into one of the neatest passages in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, found in the Gospel of Matthew. Bear with me, I know we read from Luke. It is a 3-chapter discourse uttered by Jesus, apparently while he stood on the side of a mountain, or at least a high hill, in the country surrounding the Sea of Galilee, perhaps near Capernaum. The supposed date is sometime in AD 30, making it a fairly early example of Jesus' teachings. It's a notable piece of narrative with several very important topics, including the Lord's Prayer, injunctions to resist not evil and turn the other cheek, as well as Jesus' version of the Golden Rule. Other lines often quoted are the references to salt of the earth, light of the world, and judge not, lest ye be judged. Many Christians have actually come to believe that the Sermon on the Mount may really be a commentary on the Ten Commandments. If you look through the Sermon on the Mount in the New International Version Bible, you will see it's divided into different sections that correspond with the Ten Commandments. But one thing that there is no doubt is that the Sermon on the Mount contains most, if not all, the central tenets of Christian discipleship. But perhaps the best known portion on Matthew's Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes, found at the very beginning of the discourse. All the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart. None of us are untouched by those beautiful words of Jesus. They've got to be some of the most inspiring words in history. We have focused on those words and they have become so loved, so familiar, so important to us that I cannot help but wonder how many of you were aware of the fact that the Gospel of Luke has a version too. Don't worry if you didn't, because I must confess I was not totally attentive to that fact either. Maybe Luke's version of the Beatitudes is less memorable because his style of delivery for these very noble words are quite different. In fact, there's something quite disconcerting about the way they are presented. Oh, sure enough, the first part is quite similar to Matthew. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Bless you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. But the second half of Luke's version takes a startling turn. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what your ancestors did to the false prophets. It has been hypothesized that Luke's blessing woe pairings may be a throwback to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 to 28, which says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known." Jesus' hearers would have considered blessing to be a sign of God's favor and woe a sign of God's disapproval or judgment. Other indications of the importance of blessings and curses can be found in the way some other versions of the Bible translated these verses. Whereas the commonly read New Revised Standard, as well as the King James Version, says blessed are the, other versions say God will bless, or happy are, or you're blessed when. The phrase woe to, is translated as you're in trouble, how terrible for you, and it's trouble ahead. It's amazing, though, when you stop to think about what it all really means. In our modern-day sensibilities, we think we are blessed when we have a reasonable amount of money, or lots of good friends, family, good job, good children. How odd to see those blessings have the word woe attached to them, while the things we would really like to avoid are considered to be blessed. But then again, maybe what is wrong is the way we use the word blessed in our day and age. For instance, I'm blessed. A tornado missed my house, but it hit my neighbor. God blessed me. I have a nice house and an SUV. God blessed me. Or perhaps I might say, I'm blessed with good health, steady employment, a family. Put in whatever you like here. But really, we're not blessed with those things. We're fortunate. There is a difference. Being blessed is being led by God. It is having nothing to stand on but utter reliance on God. When we're at the end of our tether, that's when we are blessed, because it's not possible to claim any of our blessings as our own doing. This text today draws us out of our comfort zone and into the challenge of finding the good news in these words of Jesus. The teaching here is a pronouncement. He never uses the word should or ought or must. In fact, there's no particular instruction at all. Jesus simply announces the way things are in God's kingdom. And it's quite a reversal of the typical model of success and failure that our society would like to impose. Luke asks us to turn the world's values upside down and see the world as Jesus sees it. Everything that we believed was true about making it in the world, about being a success, about being a winner, it's all wrong. Jesus says the losers are the real winners, and the winners are living in illusion. It's the kind of teaching that can knock you right off your feet, because it's really about one of the most basic things in life. It's about trust. It's a reminder that where we place our trust, how we decide what is important, and what we look for in this life determines our path and determines our place in God's realm. If we place our trust in the things of this world, then Jesus is clear about where the path leads. On the other hand, if we're about the business of being a blessing to those whom Jesus blesses, then we are on the right track. Jesus' message to those who would follow as disciples is one of astounding promise. For many in that crowd, these words may have seemed full of justice and mercy. For others, they may have seemed a harsh judgment. That same may even hold true for us today, but that doesn't make these words any less important. Our life in Jesus Christ, in so many ways, boils down to how we feel about others in God's kingdom, and when those encounters are filled with love and compassion and mercy for the lesser of these, then we will be truly blessed. Amen. And may your true blessings bring you joy and peace. The hymn is 524. We come.